What a wonderful, awesome, powerful time with the choir. Let's put our hands together for them. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We talked about the Holy Spirit last week. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So God is telling us to go and baptize everyone in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it means that the first person of the Godhead, this talks about the Godhead or the Trinity. The first person of the Godhead is God the Father. The second person of the Godhead is the Son, Jesus Christ. And the third person of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, we all know that the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. And last week, we talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit was sent forth from God the Father and God the Son. Amen. So the Father sent the Son, and the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. Amen. So John chapter 14, we're just going through some of the verses we read last week. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, and then 26. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And that word another is allos. And the word allos means another of what? The same kind. Hallelujah. So another of the same kind is allos. So I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit in me, with me, and what? Upon me. So the Holy Spirit in me, as a born-again Christian, with me and upon me. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And then let's go to verse 20. Okay, good. Verse 26. But, very good. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How many have been in a situation where you needed a word from God and somehow a scripture dropped into your spirit? Amen. That is because the Holy Spirit was bringing to our remembrance what Jesus told us. Amen. In the word. Amen.
Amen.
Let's also look at John 16, 13 to 15. We're just going through what we talked about last week. Howbeit, is that John 60, good. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So all that is true, the Holy Spirit will guide us into. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is not going to speak of himself. He's only going to speak what he hears Jesus tell him to tell us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. Verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Amen.
Amen.
And then we read from John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It is necessary. It is so important that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So what Jesus is saying is that it is very important that he left. Because if he didn't leave, it will only be Jesus and those in the modern day Palestine, those in his area, he'll be able to heal, he'll be able to preach to, he'll be able to deliver, he'll be able to speak to. But those in America, those in Africa, those all over the world will not have access to him. So Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away. Because if I don't go away, it's only going to be the apostles and Jesus Christ who will be doing the healing. But when he leaves, he's going to send another comforter who will comfort them, who would be with them, who will be their ever-present need, who will comfort them, help them in every time of trouble. Hallelujah. So Jesus was saying that it was necessary that he went away, because once he goes away, everyone who is born again will have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And everyone who has the Holy Spirit can do what Jesus was doing. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said that the comforter, now what the word comforter is, the Greek word parakletos, which means the one who has been called alongside to help us. Amen. Think about that. The one who has been called alongside come. So it means that, of course, God forgive you. I'm just using a human being. But let's assume you are the Holy Spirit. I'm walking. So you are following me everywhere I'm going. Follow me our ever-present help. So you are supposed to be by my side. So anywhere I'm going, the Holy Spirit is always with us, ready to help us. But you and I need to allow him to help us. You and I need to allow him to speak to us and to guide us. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And that's why he is our ever-present help in our time of need. Amen.
Amen.
And then 1 John 2:27. But the anointing, and that word anointing is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye have not you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Amen.
What does it mean? It means that there are certain, as I'm preaching now, what I'm preaching is not teaching us it if the Holy Spirit does not carry it across.
Right.
How many are getting what I'm saying? So it means that the Holy Spirit has to take what I'm teaching, what I'm sharing, and it has to plant it into our hearts and give us understanding and revelation of what I'm saying. Anytime you and I read the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit that is supposed to teach us what the Word is saying. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So that is why the Bible is saying that no man can teach you, no one can explain to you like the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, what are some of the works of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is our lawyer or advocate.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And this same word, look at 1 John 2:1. Thank you. Look at 1 John 2:1. Now, the same word in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, is the same word comforter we read about. And the Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have the same word comforter, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So Jesus Christ is our lawyer.
Amen.
He's our advocate. He's our counsel.
Right.
When you are in trouble, and you need counsel. You need a counselor. You need a counselor. That's why lawyers are called counselor.
That's right.
You need someone who is going to give you counsel and take you out of trouble. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is in heaven and is our advocate, our lawyer, our counselor to the Father. So anytime there are issues or we are in trouble, Jesus Christ is pleading our case before the Father. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is our advocate on earth and is pleading our case to the Father on earth.
Amen.
Am I preaching to somebody? So Jesus Christ is our advocate in heaven, and the Holy Spirit is our advocate on earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So think about it. We have an advocate in heaven and an advocate on earth. Isn't that awesome? Put your hands together for Jesus, an advocate in heaven. So Jesus did not leave us comfortless. He said, you know what? I'm going, but when I go, I'm going to bring you another comforter,
amen,
another advocate.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, How many are happy that we have an advocate in heaven and on earth? Amen. So it means that when you fall short, all you need to do is to contact your advocate and tell him that you've fallen short. He should forgive you. Hallelujah. Because he's in heaven at God's right hand pleading our case. Anytime he sees that there's some weakness, maybe we get frustrated or we get depressed or we get tired or we want to give up, our advocate in heaven is pleading our case and our advocate on earth is pleading our case. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The next thing the Holy Spirit is our helper. Now, when Jesus was on earth, you see that Jesus Christ was advising the apostles and the disciples. Anytime they had questions, he will advise them. What do you want? What do you want me to tell you? What do you want to learn? Jesus Christ was always giving it to them. I remember the apostles asked, who sinned that Jesus was born, the man was born blind? Was it he or his parents? Jesus said, no. No one sinned, but that the works of God be manifest. So you see that Jesus Christ was able to ask or answer difficult questions.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There was a time that the apostles needed to pay their taxes, but they didn't have enough money. Jesus Christ was able to solve that problem. What did I say? Jesus Christ was able to solve that money. He said, go to the river, the water, put your hook in, and the first fish that comes out, you have your tax money. Jesus Christ was able to provide bountifully for them. How? They were fishermen, and they didn't have enough money. They were not making it. Their business was about to close down. They were about to foreclose on everything. And then what happened? Jesus said, cast your net on the other side. And the disciples were like, we've been fishing all night. How can you say I should cast my net on the other side when we've been fishing on the other on each side?
That's right.
But he said, at your word, I'll do it.
At your word.
They had so many fishes that the boat began to sink. So they had to call for help. That is what Jesus would do. Jesus gives us a better version of what we are looking for. Can I have an amen? So he is our helper. When there was need of healing, Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. And Peter and Jesus went to Capernaum, went to Peter's house. And when Jesus realized it, he went and healed the mother-in-law. The Bible says that Jesus rebuked the fever, touched her, and she was healed. Think about that. Now the Holy Spirit is supposed to do that for us on earth. He's our helper. He helps us. He helps us in our weaknesses. The Bible says that look at Romans chapter 8. It's better to hear what the Bible says about it. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 to 27 or 28. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. Can I have an amen? For we know not what to pray for as we should or as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Bible says that our weaknesses, our infirmities, our frailties, our troubles, our weaknesses, the Holy Spirit helps us with our weaknesses, to overcome our weaknesses. And many of us, in fact, all of us don't know how to pray according to God's will, but the Holy Spirit knows God's mind, knows God's heart, knows God's will, because he's also God. And knows what you and I need, knows our hearts, and is able to intercede for us according to the will of God. Hallelujah. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. Put your hands together for our wonderful God. So the Holy Spirit helps us to do what we got to do. The Holy Spirit helps us to accomplish what we need to accomplish. What we need to accomplish or what we need to accomplish, depending on where you come from. Hallelujah. He helps us to work well. He helps us in our lives. He helps us in every aspect of our lives. He helps us in our ministry. He helps us against sin. A problem that can't be stopped, the Holy Spirit will help you to stop it, whatever it is. Hallelujah. Whatever the sin is, the Holy Spirit will give you the grace to stop it because he's our helper. Oh, put your hands together for Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Are we seeing some of the things the Holy Spirit is going to do for us, or is doing for us, or is supposed to do for us if we will allow him? Am I preaching to somebody? Yeah? Let's start from 14, by 16 and 17. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Amen. Hallelujah. So that the Holy Spirit will strengthen our spirits. That's what the Bible is saying, simply. The Holy Spirit will strengthen our spirits. Think about it. What is your spirit? Your spirit is your inner man, your inward man, the hidden man of the heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You and I are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. Amen. You and I are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Holy Spirit gives strength to our spirit. Isn't that awesome?
That's right.
I said, isn't that awesome? It's too awesome. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit comforts us. There are many times we are in distress and we need comfort. Our Holy Spirit will comfort us. How many have been in distress at times and realized that we can be comforted? I mean, we've been comforted by the Holy Spirit, or we need a comforter. How many have been in a place where you need a comforter? You are in distress, but you have no comforter. How many have experienced that? I have. But the Holy Spirit comforts us. Amen?
Amen.
What do you think? What do you think? Yeah? He comforts us. Won't you put your hands together for Jesus? Another thing he does is that he counsels us. The Holy Spirit counsels us. How many see that you need counseling? Yeah. You need counseling? How many see they need counseling? All of us need counseling. And the Holy Spirit will counsel us.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will counsel us. The Holy Spirit is also the one who gives power. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. One of my favorite verses. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So it means that the Holy Spirit, when you are anointed with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit is upon you and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, what will happen? He will cause you to do good and to help God heal all that are oppressed of the devil. There are many oppressed of the devil.
That's right.
There are many oppressed in bondage, in addiction, in so many difficulties. And it's the Holy Spirit that will bring comfort to them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He is our ever-present help in our time of need. Praise God. Amen. So I'll just give us one more thing about the Holy Spirit, and I believe we will continue. How many are seeing the importance of the Holy Spirit? And in the Old Testament, the kings, the priests, and the prophets were anointed by the Holy Spirit. For you to be a king and a priest, you needed to be anointed. How many are getting me so far? To be a king or a priest, you needed to be anointed. And you and I, we cannot be anointed if we are not kings and priests. Now, the question is, are you a king or a priest? Who is a king and a priest here? Who is a king and a priest here? And why are you a king and a priest? Sorry? Very good. What about a king? Sorry? We shall reign as kings. Yeah, there are good verses to back that. Let's look at Revelation 1, 4 to 6. It's verse 6 we are looking for. But we want to read the context. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us, hallelujah, kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now let's look at the amplified version of Romans 5:17. And then we'll get to what our sister Abby said. And Pastor Ellen, what did you say? Who said the other one? You said, yes. Oh, yes. 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 For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Amen. Hallelujah. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. King James, fantastic. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Those were the only people who were anointed in the Old Testament, kings and priests. And whatever was in the Old Testament is still applying the New Testament. It's only that we have been made kings and priests, so we also can be anointed. Hallelujah. Amen. And the anointing is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And power. So you can be anointed with the Holy Spirit or with power. If you are anointed with the Holy Spirit, you will most likely be anointed with power. But you can be anointed with power and not necessarily be anointed with the Holy Spirit. How many are getting me so far? So you and I are kings and priests unto God. And the Holy Spirit enables us, empowers us to live effective for Christ, to be witnesses. Now look at Acts chapter 1. Let's start from verse 1. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible. What does it mean to have something that is infallible? Sorry? undisputable, zero error, 100% truth, 100% proof, guarantee, truth, evidence, everything you can call it, infallible. It cannot be a lie. It can never be wrong. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. But ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost hath come upon you. Is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost gives us everything we need. Amen. From prosperity to a good life, to what does the Bible say? The kingdom of God is not in meat and in drink, but in what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in what? The Holy Ghost. Are you looking for joy? It is in the Holy Ghost. Are you looking for joy which is deeper than anything? When peace like a river, are you looking for peace? It is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, what is the peace we are talking about? We are talking about shalom. And this peace, shalom, is the full blessedness of the creature. The creature, which you and I are the creature, we don't have any want. We don't have any need. Meaning that you are healthy in body. You are strong. Your pocketbook is full of money. You are prosperous. You have sound mind. Look, everything is working for you. That is peace. Amen. Peace means that you even are calm in the midst of storm because you know that the one who you are serving is faithful and he will solve all problems. And in his time, he makes all things beautiful. That peace is what calms us. That's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Or do not be anxious about anything. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth knowledge. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now the Bible is saying that do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Because it means that don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Don't have troubled, sleepless nights about things. But rather, commit whatever you are worried about to God. How many are hearing what I'm talking about? Because when you do that, you will see that God's peace will guard your heart and mind. Because you trust in the Lord. You trust in him. Hallelujah. Continue. Finally, brethren, this is someone who is filled with the Holy Ghost. Someone who is allowing the Holy Ghost to take control. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. So what is the truth? Whatsoever things are true, what is truth? There's a difference between truth and fact. The fact is what the doctor said yesterday. That's the fact. Because it's clear. Many Christians try to forget about the fact and say the fact doesn't exist. But you have to admit the fact so that you can know what is true. What do you think? So, whatsoever things are true. So, the truth is what God said. That is the truth. And the fact is what we can see. Amen. And we can hear. How many are getting me so far? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. Why do we focus on the bad report when God says focus on the good report? How many are tempted to focus on a bad report? Why focus on the bad report when God says focus on the good report? Because I've got your back. He's got our back. Amen. If he's got our back, why do we focus on the bad report? If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on such things. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. That's what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. The Holy Spirit is also the one who performs miracles, gives us our breakthrough. That's everything we need. You see, someone who is your ever-present help in your time of need, it means anything you need, he's there to give it to you. No matter what it is. What do you need? He's ready to give it to you. Think about that. What are you looking for? He's ready to give it to you. If you would ask him, if you would dare to believe. If you would dare to believe. So these are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. If I dare to believe, if you dare to believe, if we dare to believe. Hallelujah. Amen. So you and I must not walk by sight or by what we hear, but we must walk by faith. For the just shall live by faith. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? Sorry? Counsel. Yes, but what does it mean? Yes, you're right, but what does it mean practically to be led by the Spirit of God? The sure way to be led by the Spirit of God. The Word of God. Hallelujah. Because when you are led by the Spirit of God, of course, the Holy Spirit can speak to your spirit and direct you, but it is actually the Word of God that you must use to make sure that it is the Spirit of God. Because you remember that Jesus Christ is the Word. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible also says that the Holy Spirit will not say anything of himself, but will say what Jesus or the Word tells him. So whatever the Holy Spirit tells us must be in line with the Word of God. How many are getting what I'm saying? Because there are many voices, many things that parade as if it's the Holy Spirit or they are the Holy Spirit and deceive many. But that's why we must make sure that whatever the prophet says, whatever the voice says is in line with what the Bible says. And if we are able to guarantee that, we will be 100% sure that we are being led by the Spirit of God. What do you think? So we'll continue, God willing. Shall we stand to our feet? And let's speak to the